As you go to prayer this morning, we want to, I just want to mention to you that Megan Pocha passed away this week. We've been praying for her for 3 years at least, and she had a heart and lung transplant last year, and she's 20 years old, and she passed away this week. So we want to pray for the family. Also, I guess the two police officers that were shot passed away as well last night, so we want to pray for the families there as well. There's a lot of prayer needs, and a lot of them are written on the back of your bulletin, and I trust that you'll go through them during the week and continue to bring these before God in prayer. Let's go to prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of meeting together like this, worshiping you, fellowshipping with one another. We thank you, Father, that we can bring these needs before you. Father, Our hearts are heavy as we think of those who are grieving right now, so we grieve with them. We pray for the Pocha family as they're grieving right now as they've suffered this loss, and we pray that you'd comfort them in a special way. And Father, for the families of the police officers as well, and we pray the same, that you would provide comfort at this time, that there'd be those who would come and share in their mourning and be there to just to be there and to provide that comfort as well. Father, there's so many in the hospital and have sicknesses and other medical and other needs, Father, and we pray for these as well. And we think specifically today of Rose Daschuk and Inga Moore and Ken Kennedy and Nettie's cousin Nestor. We pray for these ones and Jenny who is waiting for surgery. And Father, we pray for Bruce Ferguson and Murray and Hertha Springer, who've struggled for quite a while with health needs as well. We pray for Don Vickers' mom, Shirley Talbot, who's quite ill, and Nathan, and for Lori. Father, there's so many others. We just pray for these ones. Father, you know these ones and others who are sick, and we lift them up before you and ask your special healing on them, that you would have your hand on them right now in a special way and touch them with your hand of healing. There's so many other needs, Father. There's those who can't be here at the service, those who have other needs, those who are away. We pray for those who are traveling, Father. We pray for safety for them, for the youth mission trip that are traveling home today. We pray for them. For safety, Father, we just pray that you'll continue to work in their hearts and lives, too, as they come back from this mission trip. And, Father, we just bring all these needs before you. And anything else that hasn't been mentioned this morning, Father, you know each need, each heart, each concern. And I just pray that you would meet each need in your own special way at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Debbie and I decided to renovate our house this year. The inside, windows, cupboards, flooring, paint, the whole bit, I guess you could say, the inside of the house. A co-worker asked me a couple of weeks ago what I was planning on doing on vacation this year. I said, well, we're renovating our house, and he said, I'm so sorry. He told me some stories. They had just finished renovating their kitchen, and he told me some horror stories about that. One of the problems is all these shows on TV, these renovation shows on TV. Okay, you can see the problems, right, can't you? But one of the problems is I thought I could paint the whole house in half an hour. And I thought I could rip out the carpet and put in hardwood in half a day. You know, they do it on TV, so I thought I should be able to do that as well. Somehow it doesn't quite work that way. How many of you have renovated in the last few years? Oh yeah, okay, you know what I'm talking about, okay? You've built something, you've added onto your house, you've painted or ripped out some walls or whatever, you've done that. Well, first we had to decide what we were going to do. And we had a fight the first day. And the fight was over a wall that Debbie wanted taken out and I wanted left there. And I learned real quick to say yes, dear. And then things went much better after that. Good question. Debbie's not here today. I don't think she wanted to hear me say that. She has a headache tonight. Maybe it's from the renovations or something. I don't know why. Yeah. Why renovate your house? Why do we renovate our house? Well, things are wearing out. The windows, they fog up when the weather's damp or when it's cold. They don't open properly anymore. You know, the hardware doesn't work and it's falling apart and they don't open right. Feel the draft around them. The carpet was looking every bit of its 22 years. It was showing its age, as we say. Things are just starting to look old and decrepit. Or we renovate because we want something a little bit different, like a wall taken out, for instance. Or we want some different colored paint because that, you know, the paint's it's not up to date anymore, you know, so we have to change it. What about our lives? Do they ever need renovating? Have we lost the new Christian look? Are some areas of our life old and decrepit? And I don't mean our heads and our stomachs and our legs. I mean our spiritual lives. Are they getting old and decrepit as well? Jesus told a parable in Luke 15 that illustrated to the scribes and the Pharisees why he spent time with sinners. It was so that they would see the need to renovate their lives and how to go about doing that. If you want to take your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 15. You can grab your Bible or a pew Bible. And Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and I'll just read the first couple verses. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." The tax collectors and the sinners were gathered around Jesus to listen to him. The tax collectors, or publicans, as we know them as well, they were local men hired by Rome to collect taxes for Rome. They often demanded more than they were entitled to, and they gained a bad reputation as being crooks, and something like the reputation we've given to tax collectors today as well, I guess. But they had a very bad reputation, and they were considered to be traitors by the Jewish people, because they were collecting taxes for Rome. The sinners, it says the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around. The sinners were the Jews that didn't practice the Jewish religion. Both the tax collectors and the sinners were considered to be scum. They were considered to be lower than dirt. They were right at the bottom. That's how what the people thought of them. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they grumbled and complained whenever Jesus spent time with the tax collectors and sinners. They felt that Jesus should be above that sort of thing. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have the account of Jesus calling Matthew to be a disciple. And Matthew was a tax collector. And after Jesus called him, it says that Jesus went to his house and a whole bunch of tax collectors came together. And they visited together. Jesus talked with them. And again, the Pharisees and the scribes complained. They grumbled about that. Why would Jesus do that kind of thing? And Jesus told them that he came not to call the righteous, not to call those who thought they were okay, but he came to call sinners. He came to call those who knew they were sinners for repentance. The tax collectors and the sinners, they knew they were sinners. They knew they had a problem that they couldn't fix on their own. And they wanted to hear the gospel. They wanted to hear the gospel, and they wanted to hear what they could do to fix their problem. They wanted to get help. The teachers and the Pharisees thought they were righteous. They thought they were perfect. They thought they were better than everyone else. And they wanted to hinder the gospel. The tax collectors and sinners wanted to hear the gospel. The Pharisees and scribes wanted to hinder the gospel. They wanted to hinder it. Both to themselves, they didn't want to hear anything. They didn't want God to speak to them. They didn't want that because they were perfect, thought they were. And they didn't want Jesus to be speaking to those sinners either. So they were trying to hinder the gospel in that way as well. What about us? Do we want to hear God telling us about areas in our life that need renovating? Do we want to hear that? Or are we like the Pharisees and think that we're perfect? We're just fine the way we are. We're great. We're perfect. We're better than everybody else. Is that how we are? Or do we want to hear what God has to tell us? In this parable in Luke chapter 15, we see several reasons for renovating our lives. The parable has three parts to it. First part is the lost sheep, second part is the lost coin, and the third part is the lost son. Let's start by reading about the lost sheep. It's Luke 15, verses 3 to 7. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The lost sheep strayed away. Probably not deliberately. It just kind of happened. And I think we can see how that happens, how it just kind of happens, that the sheep strays away. The lost sheep probably mustn't have stayed close to the shepherd, but wandered off. Maybe it was curiously chasing something, chasing off after a butterfly, or checking the green grass a little further over, and it wandered off. The lost sheep probably didn't even realize that it was wandering off until it couldn't hear the shepherd any longer. Couldn't hear the shepherd's voice. Couldn't see the shepherd. It wandered off, and all of a sudden it realized that it couldn't hear the shepherd. Probably didn't know it was in any danger until it started getting dark that night, and the coyotes started howling. Obviously, it didn't know how to get back to the fold, or maybe it was trapped in some way. It was caught in a bush or on some rocks, and it couldn't get back to the fold. Couldn't find its way back. What's the good news here? Well, the good news is that the shepherd went looking. The shepherd went looking for the lost sheep. Went looking, went calling for that lost sheep, calling out to it and searching until he found it. What about us? Have we wandered away from the shepherd? Maybe it started out in one area of our life that we started wandering away in one area of our life. And even when we wander in one area of our life, it affects our whole spiritual life. Have we gotten sidetracked with things around us and strayed away because of those things? Are the things that keep us focused on God, like prayer and meditating on His Word and being active in church, are they not so important to us anymore? It happens so subtly. We often don't realize it's happening. We don't even realize that we're wandering away, just like that sheep didn't realize that it was wandering away until it was caught. It couldn't hear the shepherd any longer. In the first chorus that the worship team led us in today, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," there's a few words and a few lines in there that say, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave Thy throne above." And our hearts are prone to wander. They really are. They are prone to wander. They're prone to wander after other things that take our focus off God. And we need to recognize that we are prone to wander, and we need to recognize that when that happens, we need to focus on the shepherd and come back to Him. Fortunately, in this case, our hearts are still soft, and we can hear God calling us and God convicting us. We can hear that. And we just need to jump back into the shepherd's arms as He comes looking for us. We just need to jump back. We just need to do that. We need to renovate our lives. Maybe just a fresh coat of paint and some new taps in the bathroom sink. We just need to do a little bit to renovate our lives and get back into the shepherd's arms. We need to get that new look back again, that new Christian look back again. Let's look at the next part of the parable. In verses 8 to 10. This part of the parable is about the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Coins represent treasures from God for our spiritual lives. The coin was lost among the dust and the dirt of the house. The dust and the dirt that had been allowed to accumulate in the house. A little girl came up to her mom one day and asked, "Is it true that God made us out of dust?" "Yes," her mom said, "that's true." "Is it also true," she asked, "that when we die, our body turns back into dust?" "Yeah," her mom said, "that's true too." "Well," the little girl said, "I looked under my bed and somebody is either coming or going." In the parable, the house was dusty. The treasure was lost. The joy of the Lord was gone. Joy was gone. Peace was gone. Love was gone. The treasure was lost. This woman needed to light a lamp and get out the broom and the vacuum cleaner, whatever else is needed, all those little things, the Swiffers that you can go underneath the couch and all that, and clean the house. We need to get rid of the dust. We need to continually dust our lives to keep them shiny clean. It's a daily process. If you only clean your house every other month, well, the dirt and the clutter can sure pile up, can't they? Doesn't take that long, does it? What about under the bed and behind the dresser? Have you ever looked under there, behind the dresser? You ever clean those areas? Once in a while, you get at them, if you're moving the furniture around your room, and maybe every spring you clean them. Those are areas that are a little harder to clean. What about in your life? Are there areas that are a little harder to clean, or areas that you don't want to touch? We won't go under the bed. We won't go behind the dresser. We'll just leave those areas, and we'll dust where people see. We'll dust the living room and the spare bedroom. We'll dust those areas. But the rest, we're going to leave that dirt there. Do we do that with our lives sometimes? We leave certain areas that we don't want to dust, we don't want to clean. We need to get out the light. We need to get out the light of God's Word. And with it, we need to examine our life. And we need to clean those hard-to-reach places. With God's help, we can do it. We need to spruce up the old house. Let's look at the last part of the parable. It's starting at verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Excuse me. The lost son. Here we have the account of the deliberate backslider. He packed up and left. He went to a distant country, far away from his father. He walked away into deliberate sin. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was turning his back on God, on his father, and he was going his own way. He was turning his back. He knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing, that he was saying, I don't want you anymore. Stay out of my life. I'm going my own way. What a terrible, terrible state to be in. To have walked and fellowshiped with God and then deliberately rebelled against him and gone our own way. In 2 Peter chapter 2, the backslider is compared to a dog that returns to its vomit, or a pig that is washed and returns to wallowing in the mud. What an awful picture of a Christian that has deliberately walked away from God. A Christian who knew exactly what he was doing, what he was getting into. A Christian that told God, I'm going my own way. Stay out of my life. What a terrible picture. What I found as I read through this part of the parable, the really terrible part of this part of the parable is that the father didn't go looking after the lost son. The father didn't go looking. With the lost sheep, the shepherd went looking, but with the lost son, the father didn't go looking. The son was doing this deliberately. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was getting into. And the son had to come to his senses and return on his own. What a hard thing to do. But first, we see that he had to hit rock bottom. What a waste. The really great part of this story is that the son did come to his senses. He did come to his senses, it says, and he returned to his father. I think people must have been praying. People must have been praying, because that's the only thing that could bring him back. People must have been praying. And we see that the father was watching for him. The father didn't go after him, but the father was watching, just waiting for him to come back. And the father was waiting. When the son turned and started back, he was still a long ways off. He wasn't even close to the father yet. He was still a long ways off. And the father went running to meet him, because the son had made a decision to come back. Have you wandered off like the lost sheep? Have you ever done that? Are you doing that now? Or is your life dusty? Is the dirt piling up in your life? Or have you deliberately turned your back on God? It's time to renovate. If you have, it's time to renovate. It's time to talk to God about those areas of our life. It's time to get that new look back again, the new Christian look back. This is called repentance. That's what it's all about. It's called repentance. Repentance is turning back to God. And sometimes, maybe we are a little bit like the Pharisees and we think that we're doing good. We think we're doing just fine. And yet, maybe we've got the blinders on. We're not really looking at our life like we should. We need to examine our life as God sees it, with the light of His Word. His Word is a light unto our paths. It lights up our way, and it also lights up our life so that we can see the things that He wants to work on in our life. We need to do that. We need to repent and turn back to God. It might just be a small area. It might just require a little bit of dusting, getting out the broom and dusting out our lives. Or it might be a major renovation in our life. We need to let Him have His way in our life. God wants our whole life. Trying to give Him just part of it doesn't work. The songs that the worship team led us in talked about changing our heart, creating a new heart, commitment, making a decision to follow Jesus at all times. I've decided to follow Jesus, no matter what. That's what we need. We really need that. We need our new heart created in us, a heart that is focused and following Jesus all the time. In each part of the parable that we looked at, there was great rejoicing when a sinner repented. There was great rejoicing, rejoicing in heaven and on earth when a sinner repented. Maybe God wants you to help somebody else out with their renovations. In our home, once you get into renovations, after a while it gets pretty discouraging because you've got a mess and you're getting a little bit done, but you see, as you get a little bit done, you see all this that has to get done, and it gets a little bit discouraging. And it started to feel that way, that, boy, I think I bit off more than I could chew here. It's an impossible task. And then the other day, my sister came and helped me. She came and helped rip out the old carpet and subfloor and throw it in the garbage. And what a big help that was. It was encouraging to me to have her come and help. And we can do the same for one another. We can do the same for one another. We can help one another as well with spiritual renovations. We can be there We can be that friend to help. We can motivate. We can encourage. We can just be there to help one another. In a moment, the worship team is going to come back and lead us in the chorus, Spirit of the Living God. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. As we finish our service today, feel free to go into the prayer room if you would like to talk to God about renovations that are needed in your life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this parable that talks to us about our lives and what kind of shape they might be in. And Father, if there are areas of our life that we need to talk to you about that need renovating, I pray you'll help us to do that today. That we won't put it off, but we'll speak to you about it right now. And Father, with you doing the work and helping us, that we could make those changes in our life that you want us to do. You just want us to be willing, Father. You want us to come to you and say, yes, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us to do that today. And again, we thank you for your word and ask your blessing on each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team.